You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, that was weird.
I guess the video messed up.
Okay. Hey, guys. Welcome to Starcastic Remarks. Along with Chris and James, I'm Ryan. We are doing a, what do we call this, James?
A McCarcast.
Yeah, we're calling this a McCarcast because we are in the parking lot of a McDonald's. And we were too lazy. we were too lazy to stop. Or just go home. So we're literally like right in front of the line for the fast food line. So anyways, guys, this is the AGR for game number 18. We're talking about the Dallas Stars and the Colorado Avalanche. The Stars have looked good. Lots of storylines coming out of tonight's games. Guys, what do y'all think about today's performances overall?
We went to the game, if y'all hadn't noticed. That's why we're doing the McCarcast. But yeah, it was great. Unfortunately, it wasn't as complete of a game as Tuesday was, I thought. I thought Tuesday was much more full 60-minute game. But still, we had a great first two periods as a team. And then in the third period, Otter just shuts them down. I mean, 19 saves on 20 shots in that third period, I think. And yeah, he was crazy good in that final period. It was great.
Very good. And James, what's your original thoughts from this game?
We scored early, and then the game was kind of over for me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
I like scoring early. That makes the games a lot less stressful.
Yeah. And since I'm the cool one, I get the one with the mic by myself, and they have to share a mic because
It's because James talks less.
Yeah, that's
true.
He's
lying.
Well, and also my little audio interface only has two channels, so sorry, guys, you're going to have to deal with it, but whatever. Anyways, guys, what did y'all think of... What?
We're just going to stare at the camera, sorry.
You're just going to stare at the camera. Okay, all right, sorry, this is really weird, but we're not used to doing an in-person...
A McCarcast?
A McCarcast. This is our first one. Hopefully, maybe not our last one.
I hope it's not.
Yeah, it would be really funny. Yep. But anyways, y'all are sitting here watching us eat while we talk about the Stars. Anyways, guys, let's talk about, just go through some of these goals real quick before, and we'll get into some of the storylines for tonight as well. Obviously, big storyline coming in tonight again, just coming into the game, was the fact that Jake Oettinger gets the start again. Obviously, no surprise. One of the tweets that I saw earlier in the day said it was kind of a no-brainer. I think that was the direct quote from Rick Bowness. So, with Rick Bowness figuring out what we're supposed to be doing and how to fix it, is the answer Jake Oettinger, or what was the answer?
A decision so easy, even Bowness thinks it's a no-brainer. So, yeah, I thought, I agree, it was a no-brainer. I thought it was a no-brainer before the season started. I thought he should have been in the NHL, but, you know, whatever. Looks like I was completely right, so, okay. But, yeah, I think he's done great. I mean, whatever he did, he scrambled the lines. We have our first and second line, so that would be the Pavs Hintz Robo line and the Ben Gurry Raffel line have been great, and they continue to be good this game. Ben Gurry and Raffel weren't as impactful. I mean, Gurry still scores, but the line overall wasn't as great as it was against Tuesday. Ben had a great game on Tuesday, and that's why that line was so impactful. But still just overall great, and the first line tonight looked outstanding. It was the best that they've looked all season, especially in the first period. They could have scored four goals by themselves. So definitely the line scrambling and the amazing goaltending. I mean, through four games, I think Oettinger's had the best four games that any goaltender has had so far this season.
And you really can't argue with that when somebody's save percentage for the game is .970.
Yeah.
And for the season is .960.
Yeah.
And I think what did we saw before the game started? It was a 1.25 goals against average in three games.
Yeah,
and
it's
then
low.
Tonight, and it goes down tonight again because he only let in one goal. So, starting off in the first period, I didn't see it coming. There's no way anybody could have predicted this.
Oh, but... no. So before the goal happened, me and James started eating pizza because we said, well, it's a Stars game, so we're not going to score early. And then Pavelski scores two goals within 2 minutes of the game starting, within 12 seconds of each other. So me and James were spewing pizza all over the people in front of us while Pavelski went insane, stupid, crazy.
It was okay, though. We had to eat somehow at some point.
Yeah, it had to be. It was worth it, I think.
It was worth it.
It's great.
Well, and especially that first goal. I don't know about how you guys felt about that first goal, but that first goal was just, like, super epic. It was blown defensive coverage by the Avalanche.
Well, it was crazy good passing.
It was
tic-tac-toe.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
In the net, easy peasy.
And then obviously we all know now. I actually didn't know at the time, but that would be Joe Pavelski's 399th career goal, and that's his fifth of the season from Robertson and Klingberg. So Klingberg again, he gets that fourth assist in two games, so 4 points, and Robertson very quietly continues to be one of the Stars' best offensive weapons. So that's literally a minute and 12 seconds into the game.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, all of us were, like, hooping and hollering, like, this is a great, great start. You know, we didn't know that 19 seconds later that Joe Pavelski would score again.
But he did. He did not like 399, so he scores again. Look, again, 12 seconds later from Hintz on a shot that he shot through the defender's legs, a great screen shot, and... Y'all think that Grubauer kind of missed it. I thought it was a good play by Pavelski. But anyway, he hits 400 mark.
It wasn't Grubauer. Grubauer's in Seattle.
Yeah.
Kemper.
Dang it, Kemper.
Kemper's in that
rip
now.
Grubauer.
Yep, rip Grubauer. Although he's not having a very good year in Seattle either. But anyways, so we were literally talking about this before the game, and I mentioned a tweet about Ovechkin, and Ovechkin scored two goals in 56 seconds. Mm-hmm. By the way, shout out to Ovechkin. Holy crap, that man.
Hat trick tonight.
Hat trick tonight, 18 goals, and he's... Wait, what is he at?
26 points.
26 points.
Tied for second in the league.
He's 36.
Tied with Connor McDavid, nonetheless.
Yeah, he's 36, by the way, and he's...
He's as old as Ryan Suter.
Yeah. And then, so, anyways, but the big thing, obviously, coming out of this goal... And the fact, I mean, it was a good shot. It was a good shot, and the goalie was screened, but I still feel like Kemper could have gotten it. But anyways, that's a side point to this. That was Joe Pavelski's 400th career goal. 400th, he's the 10th, technically maybe the 11th, according to Bruce Levine. But technically speaking, he's the 10th American-born player to reach 400 goals, and he joins... Mr. Mike Modano in that 400 goal club as well. Yeah. Y'all talk about Joe Pavelski just for a second. How well he's done.
I think you tweeted out from the first year of his 3-year contract, it wasn't a great contract, but this past last year and the beginning of this year, it's been a great contract. And so if he keeps playing like this, he'll get another 3-year deal, hopefully with us. But he'll get one somewhere if he keeps putting up points like he is, because he's still doing great.
Yeah, and it's also kind of crazy to me that he's on the line with Robertson and Hintz, two young guys. He's the old guy for that line.
Gotta have a token old guy in the Stars.
So before we go ahead and get into the next part of the game, let's just talk about this, because this would be a really good spot to talk about that Hintz, Pavelski, Robertson line. What was that stat that you pulled out, James? It was something like it was 10.
They have 10 points in the last 3 games and 6 goals.
That's insane. And then they've scored like the last 11
six
or something.
6 out of 11.
6 out of 11. That's what it is. So honestly, if you're the Arizona Coyotes going into the game tomorrow, you're looking to shut down that line. If you shut down that line, that's not good for the Stars. So, a lot of teams are going to really start honing in on that top line and seeing if they can stop the offense for the Dallas Stars. But anyways, all three of those guys have just been on fire.
And the whole first period, too. So the first period, the Stars are all over them in the offensive zone. We honestly should have had 4 goals in the first period. We could have easily had 4 goals, right? I mean, it was – we were dominating them. It wasn't close.
Yeah, it's – you're 100% right. That whole first period, I don't know what it was. And maybe it was a mix of both, and y'all can answer this question for me, but was it just the fact that the Stars were really that good, or the Avs just came out that flat?
Well, the Avs were definitely flat this game, especially in the offensive zone. They couldn't they couldn't really get a good scoring chance on net, which is what we noticed the whole game. Mm-hmm. Every chance they had seems like they missed the net. But, I mean, offensively, we were just rolling. I mean, our flow from defense to offense and touch my hat. And you made me lose my point, James. Gosh freaking dang it. Our passing through the neutral zone, getting into the offensive zone, and getting good chances on the rush, and then getting the puck back and cycling in the offensive zone, we're all really good. And it was the best in the first period, and we were going so fast. It was just, we were really ready for this game. We were locked in, and the Avs weren't.
And, you know, just to mention, this is a, you know, coming into this game, the Stars were going to face a team that had scored 36 goals in the previous six games. So this was a team that, this is not like, you know, the St. Louis Blues who are kind of playing 500 or whatever, but this is like a level of you know, the Edmonton Oilers.
Recently, six-game win streak that
they
shut down.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. This is a good team. And the Stars were able to, yes, they didn't have McKinnon, but when you have Nazem Kadri, who's having a career year, you've still got Landeskog, you've still got Rantanen, you've still got Cale Makar. Yes, some of those guys got on the point sheet, but only once.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the key for tonight's game, is that they were able to actually shut all four of those guys down for the most part. And our top line was able to take care of business, especially in the first minute and a half. So, anyways, continuing on with the goals, the rest of the first period, if you watched it, it was pretty much just the Stars dominating offensively. We were in the offensive zone 90% of the time.
Yep.
85.
And the other 10% was the two penalties that we took in the period.
That's true. we had, it was 2-0 on penalties in the Avs' favor that period, and we still destroyed them in shots too. 12-4 on shots in the first period, and that's with them having two power plays.
Well, and by the way, I did love Bruce Levine's tweet about the refs must have learned how to skate from the Dallas Cowboys game on Thursday.
Yeah, go check out our Twitter. We retweeted it.
Yeah, well, it was. I thought it was hilarious. They didn't think it was as funny, but I thought it was funny. Anyways, getting into the second period, it's a little more of the Stars, especially in the beginning of the period. But Stars go on the power play. And they get a goal from Mr. Dennis.
Well, first we go on the power play from someone running Otter, which was ridiculous. He put an elbow straight into his forehead. Didn't try to turn away at all. It was terrible.
Was that before or after this goal?
That was the power play.
That was the power play. Okay, yeah. That's what I wasn't sure if that was the power play or not. I couldn't remember.
And some nobody did it. Who's Abu Kubel?
Abe Kubel. I think he's.
Who is he?
I think he got picked up on waivers from.
Yeah, that makes sense. He's just trying to get a suspension. Just trying to get into the NHL news so that people know his name.
So, you know, looking back on it, it wasn't
8 minutes of ice time. What a pylon.
You're making me lose my train of thought. When it first happened, I was really mad, but looking back at it, it wasn't as bad
you
as I thought.
You should be really mad. He goes straight to the crease, he throws an elbow to his head and knocks him out for the rest of the period.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying that it's okay and everything, but what I'm saying is it looked worse in real time than it did.
It was still bad.
When it showed a replay. But anyways, so we go on the power play. And Denis Garionov makes him pay. Denis Garionov with his fourth goal of the season. And ever since he's been scratched, he's been absolutely excellent. And then he gets the goal from Heiskanen with the primary assist, Suter with the secondary assist. And that puts the Stars up 3-0 on a really, really good and hot Colorado Avalanche team.
Is that Garionov with a goal in the past two games?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he's on like a 6-game point streak.
Something like that. I think it might be 3. Maybe a little less than that. 3 or 4.
Either way,
he has a point streak going on. And he's looking really good. And
he played good recently.
Yeah, so do you really... Now, do we have to give Bowden's credit here?
Yes.
Do we have to give Bowden... We're talking...
You have to give him some credit, but...
Yeah, Dad's in the front sheet shaking his head. No, he's just like, no, that's not the case.
I mean, give him credit because he stopped doing Bones things, and he's leaving the first two lines alone, and Oettinger is forcing himself into the lineup, and Bones is letting it happen. So in that sense, he's doing his job, and he's letting the team play. He's not forcing his way in there and trying to change stuff.
He called himself brainless.
I guess in a way he did.
Yeah. I still don't think he's great, but you got to give him credit for at least not hindering this team turning themselves around.
Well, I'm... Yes, you're
Which
you're
Jason
right
Garrett
about
for the Cowboys would do. So
Jason Garrett got fired, by the way, for those of you that don't know. He's no longer the OC of the Giants. But I'm specifically talking about Gerionov with a healthy scratch. Was that the right thing to do? Because ever since...
Oh, no, that was terrible.
Ever since he got healthy scratched, he's been better. So I feel, I and this may be unpopular with some people, but I think that might have been the right thing now.
Yeah.
And because looking back on it, right, you have to say that might have been the right decision. Because ever since he's been scratched, he's been on fire.
Yeah, and it was instantly better. As the game he came back, he scored in.
Right.
So
I mean, I think it worked. I think something had to be done. I don't think scratching him was the right move. Because I think he needs to be respected more as a player and not be scratched in that way. Like, you wouldn't scratch a third liner from Tampa Bay. I can't think of any of their names right now.
Well, they're all gone now. Yeah. The whole third line
but
is gone.
But you know what I mean.
Coleman, Gord.
Yeah, you wouldn't scratch Coleman if he's having a rough start to the season. You would talk to him or something, or you would give him less ice time, but you wouldn't just straight up scratch him from the next game. So I think that was the wrong way to do it. But the message was sent, and he got it, and he's responded the correct way.
And it's something that Bonus has done to Gurry before, and it worked last time he did it too. So Bonus just did what he knew might work, and it worked.
Well, I mean, he's done that before with, like, Robe Hintz. Before Robe Hintz was Robe Hintz, they sent him down to the AHL because he did really well for a period of time, and then he just wasn't getting anything, and then they sent him down.
I thought that was Gurionov.
Well, it was both of them.
Oh, that both happened?
Yeah, I think this was Robe Hintz's first year before he became, you know, as offensively prominent as he has been this year.
Huh.
But he got sent down, he came back, and he was excellent. So, honestly, maybe I'm getting off the fire bones train a little bit. I'm still kind of on it a little bit just because of how they played before
Let's
this.
Get off the fire bones train and get back on the don't re-sign bones train. The close out the contract train.
That's not really a good hashtag, though. We got to come up with something better than that.
We should make it longer. That would make it a good hashtag.
Extra long hashtag, yeah. Okay. So, anyways, speaking of this goal, this Denis Gerionov goal,
power play continues. What are we doing right in the power play?
We're scoring.
Okay. All right. Analyze it a little bit more than that, guys.
We have two great lines, and they can't keep their first penalty-killing unit against us the entire time. And because of that, we're scoring. I still don't agree with the way that it's being set up. I don't like having Miro off the top. I think he still should be on the top, but it's working.
Yeah, Ryan Suter has done okay. He has, and I mean he's getting tons of assists. he's getting the assists on the power play, which is what he's being asked to do.
It's just not as fancy as when he's right. did it.
That's true. All right, and then for the rest of the second period, guys, I don't know how you guys felt about it, but I thought that Colorado came out better in the second period, and they had moments when they were pushing, and then the Stars were still able to. To keep it going.
Yeah, they were better, but it was a pretty low bar. I mean, I still think the Stars had way more chances than them in the second period. I didn't see Owen's thing on Twitter. I don't remember.
But they still had
way more scoring chances, I think, in the second period. We should have scored more goals, honestly. I mean, we shouldn't have just scored the one power play goal. And we didn't mention Ottinger did go out after he got hit.
That was my next thing.
Holtby went into the game. He only had to make... five or less. Four saves is what James just told me.
I thought it was five.
James is the stats guy, not me. But he did fine. Otter came back afterwards in the third, and I'm sure we'll talk about what a great third period he had in a second here.
So, looking at the quality scoring chances, according to Owen Newkirk, and of course he's not like the official stats guy, but he does a pretty good job in keeping track of this. The Stars had 22 quality scoring chances, and the Avs had 19.
What about in the second period?
In the second period specifically, I don't know if he says that.
Scroll down again.
Keep going.
All right, whatever.
We'll find it here in a little bit.
It felt like we had more. Take my word for it. I'm sorry.
Well, so, you know, maybe if it was more even than we thought, maybe that just shows how good Ottinger really was tonight.
No, it was the third period. Because we were outshot 20-1 in the third period. And if Ryan won't get into it, we'll just go ahead and get into it. Because the Stars played terribly in the third period. It was turtle mode from the first puck drop, and it was not good.
And it was very different from the third period against Edmonton.
Exactly, yeah. The first 10, even 15 minutes, we kept the pressure on the offensive zone and still had a good cycle game going in the offensive zone, kept pressure on there and kept pressure off of our goaltender. And this game, we did not. We put all the pressure that was possible onto Ottinger, but he stood up to the test. Crazy good period from him, especially after coming back from being in concussion protocol, and he makes 19 stops on 20 shots.
The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL team and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo codes THPN, throw down $1 on any NHL game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And, you know, I think we all breathed a sigh of relief when we saw Jake Ottinger come back out for the third period.
And no, we didn't. We screamed and yelled and cheered for him.
I took a sigh of relief because I was very worried about that because, you know, just the fact that he's been hot and everything. So I really thought that if he was...
Yeah, he's pretty hot.
If what are you doing this? You're making me lose my train of thought.
It's too easy when we're right next to each other. This is normally hard when we're online.
I know. It's so much harder. Okay. Let's go ahead and get into Jake Ottinger. Jake Ottinger in the third period was absolute dynamite.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
First of all, the number one thing, they're peppering him, so they're shooting from everywhere. And the thing I've been talking about all season, big goalie equals less fluky goals going in. So there's tons of shots from the point. And Ottinger just was good positioning, and his ginormous pads, he just stops all of them. The only one that goes through is one that's a seeing eye shot from a car from the point after he's totally screened and can't do anything. But even with that, he wasn't just a big body. He made some big sprawling saves today too, like cross crease all the way. I don't know who was it on Kadri that he stopped that one timer all the way across the crease. I don't know. I think it was Kadri, but it was a great save. So he's spectacular in his positioning right now. And his, I'm going to call it scramble game for all the disc golfers out there. He was great.
And, you know, I also want to point this out, too, because, and I don't know what it is about it, but I keep saying it. And I mentioned this in the Blackout Dallas article that I did a week ago. The Stars seem to play better in front of Bonus than they do. Oh, my goodness. I cannot talk
words,
today.
Ryan, words.
Words.
They play better in front of Ottinger.
Ottinger than any goaltender. I need to get my head out of the gutter. Is it really that Ottinger is just, you know, that good of a goaltender, which he is?
Yes.
I think the other half of it is that the Stars are just playing generally better defense in front of him too.
Well, I mean, the timing for Ottinger coming in was good for him too. I mean, they just had the players meeting or whatever, and they getting their butts kicked, and they were really upset about that. And then he comes in. He plays great for them, first of all, and then they start playing better, and they start getting the pucks going in the net. So it's kind of a perfect storm for him, and hopefully it means that he's a starter and he doesn't go back to the AHL. That would be great.
I really don't see it how that could even happen at this point, Chris.
Well, I didn't think there was any way he was going to the AHL after last year, and it still happened. So
Yeah, and you know, I also thought it wasn't going to happen, and they were going to keep him as a backup. But then the Stars went out and got Holtby, you know, to in the offseason. I was like, what on earth are they doing?
Yeah, and but that's gonna. I'm gonna go ahead and jump into it.
Let's go. That was. Let me go ahead and set you up then, real quick. Cause, all right. So for this game, obviously we know this, but Jake Oettinger's the starter. Holtby comes in as the backup, and then Anton Khudobin is a healthy scratch, for tonight's game. They don't have to do anything right now because they're still under the cap and everything like that. But if they're wanting to do other moves or something, you know, at the trade deadline or whatever, something that has to be done with Anton. Does he just stay a healthy scratch and we just, you know, kind of, if we need him, he's there? Do we put him down to the AHL? Do we waive him? What do we do?
Well, the problem is with the modern NHL, somebody's going to get hurt and you're going to need that healthy scratch spot. Or someone's going to not be playing well and you're going to need that healthy scratch spot. So I think it's a stupid idea to have three goalies on your NHL roster at all times. So I think either he needs to be waived and hopefully someone picks him up, or we trade him for some really low pick. Because right now his stats are not good at all. Put it back up, James. His save percentage, .873.
His
goals against average,
that's pretty bad.
.373.
And he's still
three wins. And he has 3 wins, 3 losses.
Compared to Brandon Holtby,
who has a losing record at 2-8-1. With a 2.54 goals against average.
2-4-1.
Yeah, 2-4-1. 2-4-1 with a .918 save percentage.
A .918 save percentage when his team is playing bad.
Yeah, and a losing record.
Yeah, so his save percentage, honestly, is going to go up if his team plays better in front of him. So I think without a doubt it's Khudobin. I love Khudobin. His personality is great. I think the stuff he did in the playoffs, I'm never going to forget. But it's time for Otter to be the starter, and it's time for us to move past the Bishop Khudobin era and ring in the rookie.
It's time to bring him in. His interview was good, too.
Yeah, he had a good cake interview. That was great. That was Dad's favorite part of the game.
Yeah, it was apparently National Cake Day, according to the Dallas Stars. I don't even know where they get all these things.
It's Congress. Congress, that's what they're doing.
Instead of the stuff they're supposed to be doing.
We're not worrying about taxes. Goodness. We need to worry about National Cake
National
Day.
National Cake Day.
Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Pirate Day.
Pittsburgh Pirate Day. Okay, guys. Okay, so let's throw some stats out there for you guys. And let me just throw some ice times out here because I thought this was very interesting. You know, comparing the Stars' ice time to some of the Avalanche's ice time. Obviously, Cale Makar, I kind of skipped over his goal in the third period. He scored a goal in the third period.
Who cares?
Who cares? We won the game.
Makar sucks.
He doesn't, but...
No defense.
He plays almost 28 minutes tonight, Cale Makar does.
That's a lot of minutes.
And compared to the Stars, their highest minute person tonight was actually Esa Lindell, which is a little bit of a surprise. But
I'm not surprised because the third period we're playing straight turtle mode. We're not doing any offense.
I'd love to see the breakdown between the periods for all these players to see how it would go. But anyways, our top four, here's the time on ice for them. 26:03 for Lindell, 21:22 for Suter, 22:20 for Haskinen, 22:55 for Klingberg. And then Hockenpah plays 15 minutes. He was solid tonight. He had one of his best games. That was what Owen and Bruce were talking about on the post-game show. I honestly thought he played better on Tuesday, but, you know, he's played very well the past two games in the role he's been asked to play. Yep. And then Hanley came in for Sekera tonight as well. Kind of a minor deal, but he only plays 9 minutes and 2 seconds tonight. And then
Sekera.
Yeah, that was mostly because of Sekera's play in the really good game we had, and he just didn't play well.
Sekera didn't look very good against Edmonton, especially with the eye test. He was turning it over a bunch, and I think that's why he was probably scratched. He'll probably be in the lineup tomorrow.
Surely.
Hanley
back
was
to back.
Not good either. So.
Back to back, surely. But the other thing I wanted to point out is the forwards' time on ice. And it was – so they had four players, the Colorado Avalanche did, that had 10 minutes or less.
So, obviously, if you have four players that have 10 minutes or less, someone's got to fill those minutes, right?
That does make logical sense.
Rantanen, Landeskog, Kadri, all with 20-plus, which is very high for forwards. And then, in comparison for the Stars, only forward that had less than 10 minutes was Kivi. He had 7-11.
Sponsor?
Sponsor. No pun intended. And then the only person that was that almost eclipsed 20 minutes was Joe Pavelski. And I think a lot of that was probably because...
wonder why.
The last 5 minutes, you know, probably trying to get him that hat trick
goal. He double-shifted a couple times when the net was empty.
Dude, why didn't he... there was the one backhand shot that he had that kind of went wide, but there was one chance he had that he just kind of put it up down the boards, and I was like, dude.
You don't get 400 goals by flinging him at the net.
Guess not.
That's kind of what you do to score, is you fling him at the net.
Nah, you shoot him.
Fling him, shoot him, same thing, same difference. Okay, anyways, guys, what do y'all think about that, the time on ice there? Is that interesting? Is that not interesting?
Yeah, well, the Stars definitely, we have to do that, first of all, because we're old. All of our people are old. They break.
Second oldest team in the league.
We don't want that to happen. We also do that because we have better depth than everybody else. And even our fourth line has a role, and it's a checking line, and they do their job very well. And that's what I think is really good about the lines that Bones has found. I mean, we have the first line. They're high-flying, high-shooting, high-scoring, high-falutin. I mean, that's great. And then we've got the second line, and they're the power forward line. And they do their job well. They throw the body around. They put pressure on the goaltender. They try and get tips in front. We've got Sagan. Yeah, Sagan. And then we got the fourth line, and they play defense, and they do a pretty good job at that as well.
Well, so let's go ahead and pull this comment up, because this is from Ardell. It was more towards the beginning, but I think it has a lot of relevance for what we're talking about now. Continuity in the lines during this 5-out-of-6 game win streak. Bonus is blending the youth with age and experience instead of forcing Ben, Sagan, and Rads. And I'm assuming that line together is what I'm assuming. So. Yeah. Very good point by Ardell. And, you know, this is something else that Bruce and Owen were talking about in their post-game show, was the fact that this is what Bonus wanted. This is the kind of the lineup that Bonus wanted to have at the beginning of the season.
What did it seem like? It seemed like he was forcing Ben and Sagan all the time. They would have no goals and force the line in the game.
What really hurt it was Robertson being out. And even though we really haven't talked about Robertson a lot this season and how good he is, him coming into the lineup, I really think, has completely changed the lineup and how the Stars have been playing. That, I think, is one catalyst for why the lines have been so good for the Stars, but also the fact that they put Ben back at center. Yeah. And I think, one, that's been good for the Stars. Two, that's been really good for Jamie Benn.
I think it's been okay for the Stars. One thing it does is it moves Sagan down to that weird line, which I don't love. It hurts Sagan. It's shown in his point production. Yeah. Points haven't been as high as they need to be. But it's definitely good for Jamie Benn. And if Jamie Benn is doing good, the Stars are doing good. And I think that's more important than making sure Sagan is playing with the right people, especially since he's not starting off super hot this year. James, what are you showing me? Yeah, Jason Robertson. Robertson has been having a great year. He's tied for second on the team with points. Mm-hmm. He has 4 goals and 7 assists. It's a four-way tie for second. No, wait. He should have 11 now, not 10. I think he's got a solo second.
They just haven't updated
him. Yeah, he's solo second place on points. No, wait. He's tied with Roope.
Well, and that's also in less games than everybody else, too. Yeah, because he was out for the first 6 games of the season. Yeah.
So
he's been playing great.
So Robo has continued his consistency.
No sophomore slumps.
And you know who he kind of reminds me of a little bit, and is Mark Scheifele up in Winnipeg. And the fact that Mark Scheifele is very consistent in how many points he gets per season. Like, he's almost a point of a game per player every single year. And I'm hoping that's what Jason Robertson turns into as well.
I'll buy that. You buy that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Face-offs, yep.
We were up like 75-25 going into the third period on face-offs.
Well, we were almost 2-1 in face-offs in the second period.
I jinxed it and said, man, we're doing good on face-offs. And then we end the night 58-42. Avalanche won a lot of face-offs. Avalanche were doing a lot of good stuff in the third period. And the only good thing that we were doing was we had a goaltender named Otter. So it's a good thing we got one of those. Yeah. We should keep... Anything else?
Really, the only other thing we kind of already talked about it was the power play and the penalty kill.
We didn't talk about the refs. The refs were terrible.
Oh my gosh, that last Hintz penalty.
The last Hintz penalty was insanity. He hit the guy. He put his shoulder on the other guy's shoulder. He knocked him down, you know, like good hits do.
And called it tripping.
And then it was tripping.
For the rest of the
night. Apparently you can trip somebody by touching their shoulder. So the next time you want to prank somebody, just while they're walking, just grab their shoulder. They'll fall right down.
I guess that's how that works nowadays. But the penalty calls in today's game were just gosh awful. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible. And the
seems
thing,
to be a theme for the weekend.
Yeah. Hashtag Dallas Cowboys. But and it goes both ways, honestly. From what I saw, there were some egregious penalties that we had that I thought were going to be called, and then there were several that, you know, there was at least two where we jumped out of our seats and we were like, "What the heck, man?" Yeah. And they weren't calling the penalties there. So I don't know. Maybe it was retribution for all the power plays we got against Edmonton, but whatever.
Yeah, I get it. It wasn't just because, like, we weren't getting more power plays. It was inconsistent. Like, they were calling us on stupid stuff and then not calling us on actual penalties, and it was weird. I didn't like it. It was icky.
All right.
You were going to talk about special teams. Our power play is still great. Our power play is so good. It needs to keep being good. That's how you win regular season games. Is you win goaltending and you win special teams. That's what Razor always talks about. And these past five games, other than Minnesota, we've been doing that really well. So let's keep doing that, and we're going to be great. And we're starting to figure out the penalty kill, too. That's something that we haven't really talked about, is that as of recently, we've played some great power plays, and our penalty kill has shut them down. So that has been – whatever we've done, I think they talked about being more aggressive on the penalty kill is what I heard. But it's been going really well. We're stopping them on the blue line a lot, and they're not getting their cycle game going as well. So, really good special teams both ends of the ice recently.
I remembered one thing I did want to talk about. And it goes back to the line shuffling thing. But, you know, even though that Sagan is not getting the kind of, you know, offense that we were hoping we would get from him, I really didn't think that line looked bad today. That line of him, Glendinning, and Kiviranta, I thought they had some very solid shifts where they had some scoring chances that I thought they could have scored on.
I didn't like.
You didn't like it?
No.
Well, my only thing is that who are you going to tear apart?
That's the problem. That's the problem with Jamie Bennett center, and that's why Bones didn't want to do it. But, I mean, I'd rather have Ben playing well and Sagan playing meh, so.
So then would you take those bottom two lines, which I guess Sagan's on the fourth line right now, technically speaking, but would you take those two lines and maybe change things up or just leave them the same same?
He has been scrambling the bottom two lines, and I'm very happy, and I want him to do that because I want somebody to step up in the bottom six and start playing well because you got the chance playing with Tyler Sagan. It's a great opportunity. Take it. And I think that's what we're trying to do with Peterson, seeing if he'll take it. He hasn't really. He's had a couple goals, but hasn't really taken full advantage. I thought that's what we're going to try and do with Tufte, but apparently he doesn't get a chance. But I'd like to see Kiviranta step up. I mean, he's playing scrappy, which I like. He's throwing the body around a little bit. He's fighting on the boards. But I want to see him skate with the puck because he hasn't really been doing that.
Just do awkward slur, but I'm trying to be serious over here, James, and act like I'm paying attention.
Oh,
and
you're sitting here. All right, whatever. Closing thoughts. The Stars are playing great right now, and we need to keep playing great. First of all, we're going into Arizona tomorrow. They're a terrible team. We're on a back-to-back. This is the game we're going to lose to Arizona if we lose one. We don't need to lose.
Please, no.
We have to win this
please,
game.
Please, no.
So we need to find a way to psych ourselves up for this Coyotes game. And get out of there with 2 points. We can go to overtime if we need to, but we need 2 points. Other thing is we're playing well, and if we start not playing well, hopefully Bones doesn't decide this is his magic time to wave his magic wand. No.
Just keep it the same.
Keep it the same. Let the players figure it out. Don't send Oettinger to the AHL if he loses 2 games in a row. It might happen. It's crazy, but sometimes people don't play great. Leave stuff alone. It's working. If it stops working, it'll start working again. Just leave it alone.
Game is tomorrow at 7 o'clock Central Time, and that is against the Coyotes in Arizona. And, well, again, this is an Arizona team that is rebuilding. They're not playing great right now, and that's by design.
Be ready for a packed arena. Those Coyote fans are ruckus, especially on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
Saturday. Oh, it's Friday. Let's go. Extra weekend.
All right. Okay, last question. Who do we see tomorrow? Ottinger or Holtby?
I hope it's Ottinger.
It's Holtby.
It's going to be Holtby.
It'll be Holtby.
It'll be Holtby. But I hope it's Ottinger.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you guys for tuning in to AGR. McCarcast style.
McCarcast.
Along with Chris.
Hashtag McCarcast.
Along with James. I am Ryan, and we will catch you guys on the flip side. We hope you guys have a fantastic and wonderful evening or morning or whenever you're listening to this. Bye.